Ho, 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 ho. This is the thought for today. Ho, 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 ho. This is the thought for today. Ho, 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 ho. I know a lot of you are going to be laughing as soon as I introduce the title of the thought for today. In fact, you're laughing already and you don't even know what it is. The thought for today is, I say, the real soul mate is the one you are married to. Ho, 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 ho. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Or did I say that before? The thought for today. I say the real soul mate is the one you are married to. Well, let's start out at the beginning. You're not married. Your real soulmate is the one you are married to. What does it mean to be married? To be married means that you have found a person with whom you would like to spend the rest of your life because they inspire you, they encourage you, they give you all sorts of good feelings about yourself. They make you feel that the world is a wonderful place to be. They make you feel that everything you do is right. Everything you do is right. They make you feel that when they get up in the morning, their life is just a thrilling adventure because you're there. And who is that person really? That person is you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody pointing the fingers to themselves. That person is you. So your soulmate is yourself. Now you say, well, a lot of people say your soulmate is that special woman or that special man who is very important to your life. Nonsense. Let's get our decks cleared right away. I've been writing books and having all sorts of good adventures and thought and stuff like that. And then after I've written these books, then science has come along and said, you know, Dr. Byerly, you are entirely correct. And I said, thank you, science, but what do you mean I'm entirely correct? Well, Dr. Byerly, when you said that there is only one, that's true. How can you say that, Mr. Science, that there's only one? I know how I can say it, because I know it. But how can you say it? Well, because all comes out of the one, and all returns to the one. All is an expression of the one, and there is only one. And, to make matters even more powerful, there is only the now in which the one exists. And so, your soulmate is yourself. No other person could ever be your soulmate. Now, if you want to say that some man or some woman is a very special person in your life, and that they are your mate, and they are the soul of your life, well, that's like saying that somebody else is the allness that you are. And that can't be. Only you can be the allness. Only you can be the totality of everything that is good and beautiful and magnificent in your life. Because only you are the observer. Your, quote, soulmate is not the observer. Some person outside yourself is not the observer of what goes on in your life. It's you. It's only you. Now, I have nothing whatsoever against people who want to be married, people who want to have a relationship, people who want to live together. Goldie Hawn has been living with her boyfriend for, 15 years or better, 20 years, and their children are getting grown now, and super, and they have a most compatible relationship, a most wonderful relationship, and they don't even think about getting married. They don't even think about it. Now, I don't recommend that from the law point of view, from the civil operation, because parents usually decide to be together so they can raise the children, give the children the family name, and allow the children to have the inheritance that the family is going to give them, which is just a legal situation for called family, for husband, wife, and children. And you don't have to make up a special agreement on that. Many people who live together, they make up special agreements between themselves as to if they decide to separate, what happens. Was it the money they have mutually built up into their family estate, you know, they can't say family, but into their sharing estate and things like that. Well, now, to carry that just a half an inch further, but not more, the federal government and the state government have rules on that too. They used to call it a marriage when people lived together for a certain length of time, that it was a marriage.
Seven years
they lived together, that it's they're considered to be married, and they have all their community property and all that stuff, which it belongs to each other. But that's another thing too. But we're not really talking about marriage. We're not talking, I mean, have you ever married your soulmate? I don't think that people who are soulmates ever get married. You think that they're married. You think they're husband and wife because they're soulmates, but they're not. They are together because they're spiritually harmonious with one another. That's what the reason they call them soulmates. Otherwise, they'd call them husband and wife, you know. You know, husband and wife are the ones who go and get themselves married, and that's beautiful. Now, a soulmate is someone who is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely harmonious with everything you think, say, or do, or even think of saying, you know, think of doing. It's not that they don't care. They care very much. They have no, they cannot conceive of objecting to anything that you do. Can you see that? Can you imagine such a relationship where the two people could not conceive of, and I guess that's the only word you can use, could not conceive of objecting to what any of what their soulmate is doing. Presumably then, the soulmate could not ever do anything that is inharmonious with the soulmate. And if the soulmate cannot do anything that's inharmonious with the soulmate, well, what is it that they are? Theoretically, they're one. And if they're one, what do they have to be soulmates for? You know, you see, we live in a world in which sex is a very heavy thing. And you say sex and soulmates don't go together. Well, they certainly do. Listen to me very carefully. Sex and soulmates go together. When you look at your soulmate, do you feel one? When you look at your husband or wife, should you feel one? And there's just that's it, you know. What's the difference between sex and soulmate and marriage? It's all the same thing. Now, many, many marriages don't have sexual intercourse involved in the marriage because they have no interest in it. They have, they just love being in each other's presence. They just love being around each other. They don't have to climb all over each other. They just love each other. And they feel this mutual oneness. And, of course, you might say that lends itself more to a soulmate type of thing. But what is a real soulmate? A real soulmate, according to the dictionaries or according to anyone's interpretation, might be a person who feels an absolute oneness with another person. And when you feel an absolute oneness with another person, just one other person, what are you doing? You feel an absolute oneness with all. You cannot have the sense of feeling oneness with one person, another person, other than yourself, and without having the sense of feeling oneness with all. And really, that's what it's all about. That's what life is all about. When we return to our original purity and integrity, what are we? We are one. And my book, I'm Number One, what does that talk about? It talks about finding out who you are and enjoying yourself for who you are and being the fine, outstanding, upstanding, marvelous, magnificent being that you are. And to be that is not easy because of one thing. Because we have a tendency to compare. Now, you see, we are teaching here at the School of the Master at the University of Healing and all of our programs, we teach being untouched. Could you be touched by what another person does if you are number one? You know? Can you be one-pointed? Can you be one-pointed in everything you do? Because there is only one. Oh. You hear that? There is only one, therefore you can only be one-pointed. Interesting statement, isn't it? Hadn't put the shoe on the foot that way before. But one-pointed, there is only one. Now, who could ever possess another being? People try, and they think that that's their husband, their wife, and their children, you know. Make your parents proud of you, children, you know. No. Make yourself proud of yourself, kids, you know. Do things that please you. Do things that delight you. And when you do that, we'll be thrilled too, you see. But if you do this for anybody else, then there's only going to be the problem of how can you keep it up? How do you know what other people feel? By the way, do you approve of this? Do you approve of this? Do you approve of this? Are you going to go around the world asking everybody if they approve of what you're doing? If you don't know that what you're doing is just super, then having someone else approve it or not approve it. Now, do you want a person who has bad morals or bad values to approve of what you're doing? You know? You're not going to them to get their approval. To get their approval, you'd have to get on the level that they are. You'd have to get on the level of their thinking. Not that they're right or wrong, but it's a different level from your own. Would you like to live in a home where all they talked about was mathematics, mathematics, mathematics? It'd drive you nuts. But if you're a mathematics buff, if this is your thing, you say, wow, I'm in paradise, you know? And some people are gardening buffs, and they're always talking about gardening. They're always talking about the plants and the flowers and mulching the soils and doing this and doing that. Oh, I've had enough of that, you know? And some people are always talking about their divinity.
That's nice.
That's nice, Ellen says. Yes, but when they talk about their divinity, what is it that they're doing?
Talking about it.
They're not doing it. They're not living it. See, this is the thing. If you're living who you are, your whole being exudes what you are. And if you're talking about it, you're full of words. I have so many clients, people, friends, who come to me for counseling who are quite remarkable people, quite famous people. And in their own light, they are exceptional, really extraordinary. And they write the very thing that I'm teaching and sharing. And they say, help me. And I say, certainly. I say, practice what you have been teaching all these years. That's all. Just practice what you have been teaching. You don't have to say it's mine or yours or theirs or just what you have been teaching. What have you been writing about in your books? Practice that, you know. What have you been telling your children and telling your wife or husband? And what have you been saying all your life? Practice it. Practice it. You know, you say, I'm a Christian. Ho, ho, ho. And I say, Bulgram, you're no Christian. A Christian would say, it is done unto you according to your belief. That's what Jesus taught. A Christian would say, love your neighbor. That's what Jesus taught. A Christian would say, all these great, beautiful, wonderful, substantive things that build us up into the magnificent beings that we are. But we tear ourselves down and say, oh, but I'm only human. You know, we give that excuse. And you see, that's why there are no soulmates. Because there's not one person in the universe who could find another person equal, even in a teeny weeny little bit, to who they are. Nobody. There's nobody on this earth who is as wonderful as I am. And I don't mean that in opposition to them. But from my point of view, from my way of thinking, there's nobody. Oh, there are people who are far more better, far better than I am in living and following what they teach and what they believe. And they're fantastic. And I look at them and I say, wow, you're great. There are lots and lots and lots of them. And then there are lots and lots and lots of me's and lots and lots and lots of underachievers. And they're all good. They're all good. They're all good. It's just a matter of when you're going to wake up from your nap. When are you going to wake up and be all that you are? You know, I told Ellen we're going to work on a special project when I come back from my visit to New York this next week, giving seminars. And when I come back, we're going to work on a special project. And I'm going to not tell you what the project is, but I'm going to put you to work on it. And if you are sincere and do as I ask you to do without any qualification, nothing that I'm going to ask you to do would ever be against you in the slightest, but if you could do it, you will never want for fulfilling the law ever again. Now, how about that? Sounds interesting. Now you open your eyes. Now you sit there and you say, that sounds good. Why don't we start now? Why are we waiting until you come back? Yeah. But you see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And it's all about the one and the now. And if you're ready for that, and I know I am ready for it, I'm always ready for that sort of stuff. If you're ready for that, then the magic of who you are is ready to pow, blossom. It won't shake you up like the earthquake last night or this morning at 4 o'clock, but it'll give you a few other things to think about. So think about that. It's quite a statement here that we're making. The real soulmate is the one you are married to. Now, I believe the statement was written from the point of view that every person who is married their soulmate, and which is a joke, because every person who is married is basically, huh?
Those who are married 7 times?
No. Every person who is married is married to one who is judging them. You are better than they, and that's why I'm marrying you. Or you are better than that, and that's why I'm marrying you. Or you're not the worst of the lot, so that's why I'm marrying you. You're not the best, but you're not the worst. And you're certainly never as good as I am, you know. So, you see, any marriage, it has all those interesting ramifications to it. And a true marriage is a marriage where a man and a woman, or partners, whatever we want to call them, who are living together, doing whatever they want to do, as their family might call it, however wonderful it may be, And they absolutely, and the word, this is the wrong word to use, allow, they absolutely do not judge what another person is doing. They do not possess them. They do not feel touched by them. They just enjoy them. Now, when you are putting a little baby to bed, and the little baby's lying in the crib, and it's not tired, but you want it to go to sleep, so so you get some sleep too. But you tell the baby, now, go to sleep. Go to sleep, kid! Go to sleep, my angel, you know. And so then you start cooing to the child. And you start saying, oh, my sweet little love, you're so wonderful, you're so wonderful. And before you know it, the little tyke just drops off into dreamland. But if you fight it, and you say, go to sleep, I got to get some sleep, I got to go to work tomorrow, I got to do this. Now, don't keep me up all night, my goodness sakes, you know. And then you're kept up all night. But the minute you start unconditionally loving the child, not judging him that he's keeping you up or whatever, but just love them to pieces. If that's how every marriage could be, wow, what a beautiful world of marriages this would be. And Jesus said, and the little children shall lead them. Yes, let them come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So you all... have your marriage however you like it, but remember, it works when you have unconditional love. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.